speaking today to Kendra Yarbrough-Camarena, who is a Democratic candidate for State House in District 138. Kendra, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I'm running because as an educator and a lifelong resident of the district, I noticed that the challenges that my students, their families, and my neighbors were facing were taking a back seat to the partisan bickering and the strong special interest in Austin. I look at it this way. They hold teachers and students accountable for what we do in the classroom, and it's time that we hold the career politicians accountable for what they have not been able to do in Austin.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you are a classroom teacher.
Yes.
And as you say, Texas has done a lot lately to impose all kinds of accountability requirements on teachers. Can you speak a little bit to how that has actually affected you in your day-to-day experience in the classroom, how it's affected you and your students?
Well, I can say it puts in a tremendous amount of pressure on the students. I teach 8th grade history, so teaching 8th grade history, they have to take both math, reading, science, and history tax tests. And it's put a tremendous amount of pressure on them, and they have to pass those tests. And for teachers, it, you know, even though in history we have to follow the TEKS, which is, you know, pretty well-rounded, it still puts a lot of pressure on us to make sure that those issues, those TEKS are being taught. And it eliminates some of us thinking outside the box, I think. I understand the need for accountability. I do. I understand the need. But I think that control should be given more to the local school districts.
How would you change it?
Well, I think having a test, but using the test as more of a way of looking at the progress of a student. Because as a teacher, one of the things that we are taught is that students learn different styles, right? They have different learning styles. Therefore, for me, to test them one individual way does not make sense. We should be able to give them other ways and other means, whether it be through project-based learning, where they create projects to show that they can master the skills of our state standards. You can do testing, but there's just many different ways. And if you give that local control back to the school districts and allow them to have to show that accountability, but give them more, allow them to have the options of how to show that, I think that would be the best policy.
Do you have a critique of the TPM, Texas Projection Measure, that the Education Agency used as a way of measuring the progress of students in school districts?
Well, I fell victim to that. Not fell victim, but that is something that it was addressed in my 8th grade, because I teach 8th grade social studies. Yes, I think that we need to make sure that we value education, and education is a priority, and that our students are meeting the progress that is necessary, and it should not be a projection. It should be based on what progress, whether or not they are showing growth or not. I think a lot of times with growth is growth.
Okay.
Growth is growth.
And, okay, so how do you measure it?
Well, you measure it by looking at what scores whatever scores it may have been the previous year, to see if there was any type of growth at all. And you know, we all know that the children grow at different levels during different points of age. And so some students may grow 20 to 30 points, while others may grow 10. It just depends on where they are in their life. And we can't have the same expectation, I think, but growth to me is growth.
Okay. As you know, the state is in tough budget times, and public education is a very large component of the budget. Is the state doing an adequate job of providing funding to individual school districts and, you know, schools?
Well, I think that we see right now that the answer is that the funding has not been adequate enough. I mean, when we look at the difficulties that our schools are going through at this point, the possibility of laying off teachers, increasing classroom sizes, that shows that the funding has not been adequate. We have not set our priorities. And we need to, in this state, set a priority that our schools are one of those priorities, and that we create funding that is long-standing, that will be able to fund our schools adequately.
And you know, how do we do this? Obviously, you know, as you know, in 2006, in the special session, the legislature cut the property tax by a third in response to a Supreme Court ruling. There were other measures adopted, including the business margins tax. They're supposed to make up for that lost revenue, but did not. How do you balance the need to adequately fund the schools and find a way to fund the schools with the current reality of the budget, you know, having a large shortfall?
Well, I think, and I agree, the plan that was passed in 2006 was not an adequate way of funding and taking care of the needs of our school. Our school districts are facing, like we just talked about, potential layoffs, potential increase in schools. And the way that, like I said just a minute ago, that we need to address this is make sure that we look at a long-term funding source to fund our schools and make schools our priority. We can do that if we come together in the State House, and the State House comes together and they make it a priority and they put aside the partisan politics. We haven't seen that yet because often they're too busy playing politics and not coming together and doing what is right, which is making education a priority. Education leads to so much, and it's key to the success of our state.
Do you believe that new revenue sources should be on the table? Right now, Speaker Strauss has basically said it's all about cuts. But do you believe there should be some, you know, new revenue sources made available?
I think that depending on the revenue, when it comes to new revenue, I do not believe that we should start burdening the hardworking Texans or the hardworking people in our community here in District 138 who are already faced with making ends meet in this hard economic times. I do not think we need to burden them, and they are already burdened. So what I do think is we should look at sources. And I know there have been suggestions of what type of sources. We should look at those sources, but we should not burden small businesses, and we should not burden the hardworking people here in Texas.
One option that has been put on the table that will certainly be discussed in the next session is an expansion of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
That could include things like slot machines at horse racing tracks and casinos. What is your position on this?
Well, I think that at this point, with our $18 billion, or what we're looking at to be an $18 billion deficit, we need to be able to look at all sources that would generate revenue when it comes like that. I do understand that there could be, and I am concerned of the negative consequences that could occur, but I think that's something that we need to look into and leave our options open.
What are some of the local issues that people are facing in District 138?
Well, through my calls, I've noticed that the insurance reform and utility deregulation, and the fact that both insurance companies and utility companies have not had to justify their rates, is a key issue that continues to come up. I also see property taxes as being an issue that I speak with many, many homeowners who have not seen the property tax decrease that they were promised, and they wonder why. And why have they not seen that decrease in their property taxes?
What do you tell them when you hear them talk about these things?
Well, I want to listen to them. And then, two, depending on it, when we're looking at insurance reform, like I discussed, you know, unfortunately we are in a position right now where insurance companies can basically send to the insurance commission that they want to increase rates without truly having to justify them. And then once it is looked at, it would take years if they want to file suit against them to decrease those insurance. To me, there needs to be some reform there to stop them from being able to just increase rates based on the timing, just because they want to. I think they should have to justify that, and I think by allowing the insurance commissioner that power could be helpful. Utility rates, I think that we need to address the fact that they're able to raise our rates without justification as well. That's key. When it comes to taxes, again, we are burdened with taxes, and I know that with the marginal tax in 2006, the idea was to decrease the property taxes, and there was another plan that was given at that time that would have actually increased the increased the homestead exemption by 3 times. I would have preferred a plan like that at that time. I think it would have benefited homeowners like myself and the people in District 138, but at that time it was not chosen. So therefore, we have to move on and find what is going to and how do we take that burden off the middle class like myself and the people in District 138.
Another issue that is likely to be highly contested in this legislative session has to do with immigration. A couple of members of the House delegation have stated their intent to file legislation that would pass a law in Texas similar to what Arizona did. What is your position on this?
Well, first of all, I would love to see our federal government have a good solution for this. But whether it is a state or a federal solution, what I know, number one, is we need to protect our borders, and that is something that our state can do. And I think right now Harris County is a good example of both federal and local law enforcement agencies working together, where in the process of an immigrant being arrested, at that point, they are and found out that they do not have their documentation, and they are given over and deported to the federal agencies and authorities and deported. I think that's extremely important, and I support that. I think we also need to make sure that we protect our economy. I do not, with that being said, I do not think that we need to put more on our police officers. Our police officers are here to protect us and our community and our families. And I do not think that giving them the job of a border, the Border Patrol or INS is going to allow them to be able to do that job effectively and efficiently, which is protect us.
Okay. One of the things you hear a lot about this upcoming election is that there's an enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats, that Republicans are more interested in voting this year than Democrats. Do you see that as you campaign, and how do you deal with it if you do?
No, actually I haven't, because I think the issues that we're facing aren't Democrat or Republican issues. They're issues that are facing all of us in District 138 and all of us across the state. What I've noticed is that the people in District 138 are concerned about what's happening to them. And I want to be able to represent all of them. And that's what our focus is right now.
District 138, like many parts of Harris County, is changing demographically. There's more of a Latino population, a more diverse population in general, especially along Longpoint and places like that. But those populations historically don't participate at the same levels in elections as some others. How do you approach that as you campaign?
As a campaign?
Yeah.
Well, I think getting out the word and talking to people is key. And that's one thing that we are focused on, is talking to people in this district, because we know that's going to be what makes the difference. People need to know who I am and what I stand for, and that I'm here to give, and that I want to give honest, fair, and open representation for this district, and that's key. And we don't have that right now in District 138.
Okay. When people go to vote this November, why should they vote for you and not for the incumbent?
Well, again, because I'm here to represent all. I'm here to give honest, fair, and open representation, open-minded representation. I think that what we've seen in the past 10 years has been partisan bickering, and it's not about political parties. We have to come together and work on the issues that we're all facing, that Texans are facing.
One last question. Your name is Yarbrough, and there used to be a Yarbrough representing this district. What's the relationship?
Well, Ken Yarbrough is my father, and I'm very lucky to have a great dad, I have to say. But I can tell you that, you know, me deciding to run, this is based on me wanting to give back even more to the community other than being a teacher for the past 9 years.
Kendra Yarbrough-Camarena, thank you very much for talking to me.